In the news this month, Cassini spots evidence of lakes on Titan. Results from Venus Express pose problems for weather experts. A sensitive survey of the high-energy X-ray sky shows a lack of black holes. And observations of the recent outburst of Nova Arasofyuki show new details of stellar explosions. The Cassini spacecraft has returned images of the surface of Titan, which show strong evidence of lakes. The images were taken using a radar system, where signals are transmitted towards the surface and the reflections are measured by the spacecraft. In this kind of image, smooth surfaces appear dark as the signals are reflected away from the transmitter, while rougher surfaces appear brighter as the signals are scattered in all directions. These new images from Cassini, taken on the 21st of July 2006, show dark patches scattered across Titan's northern hemisphere. The surface of the moon of Saturn is too cold for water to exist in liquid form, so scientists working on the mission have suggested that the lakes possibly consist of liquid methane or ethane. Methane exists as a gas in the Earth's atmosphere, but the surface and atmosphere of Titan are very different, and methane is likely to be stable in a liquid form. Further evidence for the lake hypothesis comes from channels which appear to flow into the lake-like features, also seen in the new Cassini images. These channels, like the lakes themselves, appear black in the radar images, implying that they are very smooth. If these features are lakes, Titan is only the second body in the solar system after the Earth on which liquid features are thought to exist. The European Space Agency's Venus Express spacecraft has been studying the weather on Venus since it reached its final orbit in May. The enormous double-eyed vortex seen over the south pole of the planet on the first flyby of the craft earlier in the year has now been imaged in much greater detail. Using the VIRTIS instrument, scientists working on the mission have constructed a cross-section through the vortex to investigate how the structure varies with height above the surface. VIRTIS does this by taking images at a number of closely spaced wavelengths, with each wavelength probing the atmosphere at a slightly different height. The results showed that the shape of the structure varies greatly with height. As yet, no one quite knows why the variations are so large, but the data coming from VIRTIS will help astronomers begin to model what is going on inside the thick atmosphere. A team of European and American astronomers carrying out a sensitive survey of the sky using instruments on the Integral satellite sensitive to very high energy X-rays have found evidence for far fewer black holes than were expected. It is thought that many galaxies have supermassive black holes at their centres, although many are probably hidden within large clouds of gas and dust, making them very hard to spot. The only light that escapes through this cloud has very high energies and is in the very short X-ray part of the electromagnetic spectrum. The sky glows faintly at these wavelengths, but the new results from the International Gamma Ray Astrophysics Laboratory, or Integral, satellite show that there are not enough of these hidden black holes in the nearby universe to account for this background glow. If obscured black holes are the main cause of this emission, then it must be coming from the distant universe, from black holes in much younger galaxies. This could be because nearby older black holes have had time to consume or blow away the surrounding dust, leaving nothing to produce the X-rays, or that they are just better hidden than astronomers first thought. The astronomers working on this project, led by Loredana Bassani at the Integral Science Data Centre in Switzerland and Volker Beckmann at the Goddard Space Flight Centre in the USA, plan to extend their survey deeper into space to determine if either of these ideas are correct. Finally, results of the many observations of the recurrent nova Arasofyuki, which went into outburst earlier this year, were published in the journal Nature in July. There will be an interview with our very own Dr. Tim O'Brien, the lead author on the paper, later in the show.